Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hey everyone, welcome to the All Dick is Trash podcast.
Good save.
Good, yeah, thank you. I'm your host, Millie Tamarez, and I'm here in the studio with Candy Haro, producer extraordinaire.
Sure.
okay, cool. Oh, yes, this is a production of More Banana Studios. We're super excited. This is the All Dick is Trash podcast, the podcast where we, you know, talk about all things patriarchy,
All things garbage,
just straight garbage, basura. Yes. So, you know, I feel like to a lot of people, all dick is trash, that phrase is like something kind of villainous. So I'll embrace it, you know, and I like to. It's kind of like in Joker, where there wasn't just one thing that set Joaquin Phoenix off. It was multiple different experiences. Wait,
can you say Joaquin?
Joaquin. Thank you. Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes, yes.
You know his name is John or something. But, but yeah, I think it wasn't just one thing. It was like multiple experiences. And I feel like it was the same thing that led me to start saying all dick is trash and to continue to stand by it, you know? So I like to start every episode with a trash dick anthology, like trash dick experience. And I'm just going to share today about the worst date I've ever been on in my life. And that was, it was this guy I met on Tinder. I don't even remember his name.
Not worth remembering.
And he was like, he's into EDM and all this shit. And like, it was one of those guys like, you know, I was talking to a ton of guys at the same time. I was probably like 24, 25, which was last year if you're my agent. But yeah, like, so this guy, he was just one of those guys on the apps where it's just like never worked out. Like you would just always text and or something. And he was just like, was a little corny, but we never made solid plans. I was always kind of seeing someone else and we never made solid plans to date. To go on our first date. And then, you know, he would hit me up every few months. Like, yo, what's up? What's up? What's up? Every few months. And then finally, I was like, you know what? Okay, cool. Let's do this. So then he's like, oh, okay, great. Like, let's go out for drinks. And I'm like, great. And he was like, let's go to Beauty in Essex. And that's like a super fancy bar, but I had no idea.
Yes, they give you champagne in the bathroom fancy.
Yes, it's super fucking fancy. Like speakeasy with like you in the front, it looks like a pawn shop. And then you go through these like doors and there's like a marble spiral staircase lined with like chrome. It's just like so gaudy and nice. And, you know, even my friend Michelle, she was like, that place is so fancy. But Michelle is like, she, you know, we went to Bahama Breeze and she was like, this place is so fancy. So I couldn't really trust her opinion. But yeah, like
I had a panic attack on the floor. I had to hang out in the bathroom. That's how I knew they had champagne.
Yeah, no. Nice. So, this was like a long time ago. And it was the day, I remember I got paid on Thursdays and it was Wednesday. Like I was the day before payday broke. But this guy was just asking me so much to go on a date with him. I said yes. So we're on this date. And, you know, he's just not being a real person. He's just like being so corny, like touching me a lot, like touching my back, like trying to get in close. And I would ask him a question and like he would just everything would be just be a corny line to like try to be endearing. And it was such a turnoff. He'd be like, what's your, you know, I remember I asked like, who's your favorite celebrity crush? Or who's your celebrity crush? Like trying to break the ice and stuff. And he's like, you're my favorite celebrity crush. And I'm like, okay. I mean, if he said that now, like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But I definitely had 100 followers on Instagram at the moment. But then, yeah. So it was always just like, it was just so canned. And, you know, of course, my favorite celebrity crush, Jake Gyllenhaal, Bruce Lee. I had to let him know I love Asian men. But, you know, whatever. That's a whole nother podcast. But yeah, so they're like, our waitress was this like 6 foot tall, hazel skin, green eyed model with like slick back hair. And she was just so beautiful, so thin, perfect skin, you know, because they actually have models that work there. So I was like, wow, everyone who works here is so hot. And he's like, not as hot as you. And like, okay, dude, calm down. Like, I get like that was a tough situation. Like the guy can't be like, yeah, he's everyone's hot, then I would feel some type of way. But then not as hot as you is like a weird thing. Anyway, the check comes. Oof. And this place is fancy. Each drink is $20 and I'm before payday broke, right? So the check comes and he's like, oh, okay, just give me like $45-$50 and we'll be good. And I was like, what? I thought this was a date. And he's like, huh? I thought you said you had a job. And I was like, what? And I was so uncomfortable and he couldn't sense it. And he's like, fine, I'll pay. And like, he's like, I'll pay for it, but only because you're so beautiful. And I was like, ew. What the fuck, dude? You asked me, like, if he would have asked me to go to a dive bar or something, I would have been cool with it. You know what I mean? But he insisted on going to Beauty in Essex. It was his fucking choice. He's been trying forever, dog. What? So I was so uncomfortable. And I crossed my arms in the bar. Like, I was like, my body language was like closed off to this guy. And he's like, come on, yo, give me a high five. Give me a high five. And like everyone in the bar is like turning around like, what the fuck's going on? He's like, give me a high five. And I'm like, oh my God, stop. Like, you're making a scene. He's like, give me a high five. And then like, I finally gave him a high five and he like, I put up my hand and he put like his fist like this and he like with a thumb out and he's like, awkward turkey, awkward turtle. He yelled this in the bar. Everyone turned around and looked like, what the fuck just happened? And I was so embarrassed. We left. So he paid the bill. We left. And then I hugged and I was like, you know, like it could have been a misunderstanding stuff. He never texted me, which is fine, you know, but that was one of the worst dates I've ever been on. And that was one of the first like seeds of like, wow, I'll take his trash.
Trust no dick.
Trust no dick.
Welcome, Gina Bloom.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. I'm so happy to have you here on the All Dick is Trash podcast.
Loving the title.
Yeah.
Very on brand for
you. Yeah, very on brand for, yeah, very on brand for me. Yeah, so basically I started this podcast
as a way, you know, it was like a term that I used in a sketch that like just really got some traction. And, you know, I feel like it's a way for people to share their frustrations about the patriarchy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. And it's just like just easy boiling down to those four words. So I just like to bring people on and, you know, talk about their relationship with dick, with the phrase, with all this stuff. And I'm so happy to have you. So Gina Bloom is a Martin Grant finalist.
That is correct. Yes.
Congrats. Thank you.
Congrats. Sweet. You have the Make It Rain show at Club Cheetahs in Hollywood, which will change locations very soon. Yeah. You have Sweet, mm-hmm. the Ladies Guide to Bro Culture podcast.
Yes, I do. Right here on the More Banana Network.
Yes, on the same network buddies.
That's right.
Then you grew up in Indiana. Then you went from Indiana to Florida,
yes.
to LA, to Tennessee,
yep,
to
yep.
New York City, and then back to LA. And you're currently bi-coastal?
I'm currently bi-coastal. Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, it's bi-coastal, but it's mostly LA. It's like 75% LA, I guess. Right? Yeah.
And you work in tech.
That I do.
And you're the winner of the Harlem Comedy Festival.
2018.
Yes.
Rashad Bashir, I believe, won it this year. So I'm no longer the reigning champion.
But yes. Yeah. And you also were the finalist in the She-Devil Comedy Festival.
That I was. Yeah. 2018 as well. Had a big year 2018.
All right. So that's a little bit about you.
A little bit about me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just like, I have a million questions.
Go for it.
You know, yeah. First of all, like I like to ask all my guests is all dick trash or no? And that's, you can say no, it's okay.
Before I get into mm-hmm. whether or not all dick is trash, I have to applaud you right away just for having a podcast on the internet in 2019, 2020 with the title All Dick is Trash. I'm just saying that.
I'm actually
Reddit
very,
is gonna fucking love you.
I know. That's why I was like, should I not have this name or should I call it like everything's trash? I don't know.
This is your truth. And it's like, and it resonates for a reason. Like yeah. if you just said everything is trash, no one would have cared. Yeah. Like, yeah, whatever. Like,
I know, but I hate getting harassed.
I hate it too. It sucks. I've not experienced it at a mass level, thankfully, but here and there it's not fun. And I applaud your bravery.
I know.
I'm going for it.
It's not really bravery. I'm just like, oh my God, I guess I got to call it this. Cause yeah, I mean, I've been harassed like in mass for small periods of time. It's not great. These people will dig through.
I got a little bit a taste of it when I dared say that Dave Chappelle's most recent special wasn't very good. That's all I said.
Oh, well.
And as a trans person, then I became like Queen Snowflake for a day.
Oh, well, you know, that's what free speech is.
Yeah.
Liking exactly. everything and not saying anything bad
right.
about.
Not saying an objective truth that that special was just not very good.
It's just not good. And you know what? That's what got me. You know, those women that got, you know, Amber Rollo and Kelly Bachman got kicked out of that, got kicked out of that bar. And I wrote, you know, a bunch of tweets saying like all these comedians that got upset at Shane Gillis for.
Where are you now?
Where are you now? That's all I posted. I was like, because like, you know, Bill Burr, David Spade, all these people were writing, like did segments on their podcasts, on their shows. Like, this is the end of comedy, like comedy, blah, blah, blah. Like, we need to protect our industry.
Yeah,
and then these girls are getting thrown out of a bar on some Lenny Bruce shit for making a joke.
Right.
And these people are silent. And I said that, and like somebody who has a very famous podcast or very well-known podcast that makes $50,000 a month on Patreon retweeted it, called me a retard, and I was attacked for an entire weekend.
Oh my
and
God.
They dug through like photos of me. I went back to, I know those people like harassed me, blah blah blah, and then you know they found a picture of me at a wedding from like 2016. zoomed in on my teeth and like zoomed in on my gap and was like, I'm this close to giving up on 2019. And I was like, my gap. And like, I fucking blocked them and all that, you know, but that was pretty funny. But like, also like, it was mean in the moment. I was like, what the fuck? Fuck you. But now I'm like, that's actually really funny. But anyway, yes, I'm scared, but thank you for your applause. But now,
yes, let's now, get to the back air. To the question.
Back to the question.
Is all dick trash? On my show, I tend to attempt to be kind of even-handed about this. Like, I don't try to like shit on people's taste too much. It's a different kind of show, but I'm gonna say all dick has trash qualities. I think all dick has a percentage of trash. I think there's a baseline level of trash to dick. Mm. So is all dick trash? Yes, it is, but not all. It doesn't have trash to be at the same level. Mm. Like trash is a spectrum.
Trash is a spectrum. Trash is a spectrum. So, yeah. You know what? Have you ever been to Japan?
I have not. I've been to the Philippines. That's as close as I've come.
Well, in Japan, like, they sort garbage. Like, there's just 8 different ways. You know, there's like really strict recycling laws.
Yeah, sure.
And you have to, and there's like a compost bin. And then there's like the plastic, but only this kind of plastic. There's like the paper. That's kind of how I feel. Yeah.
That's like San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like very strict. Like, yeah. So that's like how I like to categorize like all
different
trash.
Different types of trash.
Different types of trash. And, you know, sometimes the trash is, you know.
Sometimes the trash is, you can recycle it. You can recycle it. You can recycle it. Sometimes it's just for the compost heap.
Sometimes it just needs to be burned.
Styrofoam.
So yeah, like styrofoam, you can't get rid of it. Just nothing stays around and won't biodegrade. Trash metaphors aside, you know, I'm like trying to see how I can pose this. Yeah, so I received not some flack, but you know, a trans woman shared objections to the phrasing all dick is trash because it's reducing.
I can see that too.
It's reduced, you know, the argument is it's reducing like all, or saying like dick is only related to cis men.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't, it's like hard because like, of course, I totally understand that. You know, and yeah, the phrasing, it's like tough, you know?
So it's tough. You know what? This is probably not going to endear me too much to my community. I think sometimes the trans community gets just a little bit sensitive to shit that they should know based on context isn't addressing them. Like, it's obviously you're not talking about trans women when you say all dick is trash, even though as a trans woman, I technically have one, but I can tell you that of my experience in the dick having world, I'm going to say it's pretty much trash. You know, trans women we're complicated. Some of us are trash. Some of us aren't. The dick doesn't have anything to do with that. Mm. It's all personality. Mm-hmm. But and I think this is what your podcast is trying to address. The dick comes with the patriarchy, and the patriarchy is trash. Mm-hmm. And you can't like, as much as we might want to, like, that there's a part of that. And that's like, that's who we are. That's who we are as trans people, that we have a history and we have like an association and we have even just a biological echo of that. And it's not our responsibility, and I'm not saying that trans women aren't women. Guys, don't fucking kill me, please. But what I am saying is that dicks as a piece of anatomy have symbolized an oppressive force for such a long time. And even though that we were closeted and like we were really, you know, women that just couldn't express ourselves, there's no harm in saying that, you know, dicks throughout history have been problematic things, and that we can help. We can help educate, you know, cis men. Mm. Use your fucking dick responsibly, guys. Here's what you can do with that thing, instead of like trying to subjugate and destroy. Here's a good way to use your dick. I don't know. It's complicated. I hear myself talking and I feel myself becoming more problematic as I speak. But
no,
like,
I mean, I feel like it's nuance, and that's like the
it
stuff
is nuance.
That,
yeah.
It's a nuanced discussion that, you know, can only happen in really like in a podcast or in like kind of person where we can talk about that stuff, because, you know, when it gets online. And yeah, you know, I it's also tough for me too, because it's like, yeah, it has been this oppressive. I really liked how you phrased it, of like, dick has symbolized this oppressive force. And at the same time, as women have, you know, as cis women have really start to like get pride and like be comfortable with vagina imagery and pussy hats and all that stuff, like, I understand. Yeah, I just it's just complicated, because it's like, at the same time, this is not everything that it means to be a woman.
No, not at all.
But it's at the same time, it's like, but it's not like we've for centuries been embracing and like reveling in this vagina imagery and on all this, you know. So it's tough. It's so tough.
It's really weird, because, like, you know, there's a lot of signifiers of power in the world. Like pale skin is a signifier of power, whether or not you have a dick or a vagina. Or some ambiguous genitalia. If you're white, you're perceived as a powerful person. This is something I talk about in my act, and it's a true thing. When I was pre-transition, people looked at me and they saw an Asian person, because I'm biracial, and they saw the Asianness in me come out. But when I transitioned and I grew my hair long and I started, you know, wearing makeup, all of a sudden people were perceiving me more often as a white person. I don't know what that is, other than the fact that my appearance looks expensive. like I'm wearing like $300 in product right now on my face. I think, oh, well, obviously there's a white person, because who else could afford that shit? And it's subconscious, right? Like, I don't think they make that decision consciously. But like, it's weird how that works, how like by giving up one form of privilege, I gained a different form of privilege. I don't know. I think that's why I can be a little bit detached when it comes to, like, you know, the differences in gender versus anatomy. I'm not saying that, you know, gender and anatomy are completely separate. They are, but in the sense that we live in a world, and that world has a history, and that history is often tied to matters of anatomy, whether or not you have a penis and whether or not you have pale skin.
Yeah. Speaking the truth. Well, now back into, you know, thank you for sharing. I really appreciated that. I mean, not just because you echoed like things that I really believe, but it's also like, yeah, I mean, you know, I really appreciate your perspective, and that's like important to me. And yeah, like, it's important to you. It's hard. It's hard in these discussions to like, what is like stuff that needs to be changed, or like, how can I like improve? So, you know, I really appreciate that.
We're all trying to improve.
Yeah. So back to Gina.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me tell you. So I first met you at an Onion workshop that I like coordinated like a few years ago. And then I
remember it well. Yes.
Yes. Click and hole. Then click hole. Yes, yes, yes. And then I added you on Facebook, and I did not know you well, but I loved reading your little Facebook post about your sexual escapades.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was so interesting, so fun. So yeah, this kind of goes into that. I mean, if you had a blog or even a book, I'd read the fuck out of it. But anyway, I digress. I want to hear about your most trash experience.
Oh my God.
And it could be like, it doesn't have to like be sexual.
No,
it can be
so
like
much.
Work. It could be anything.
Oh, the most trash. That's a hard one.
I know, it's hard. What's your favorite song? It's like, of course, like The Day, whatever. But like anything in your top five or anything that comes out to you. I don't want you to get stressed out. Like,
no,
is that
right.
The most?
I'll tell you about the most recent trash experience I've experienced. So I moved to LA a few months ago, and I got very horny very quickly. And so I spent the first 3 months or so just banging. Just banging everybody. And I ended up dating this guy, and I thought he was gonna be like a good dude. And he was fine. He's not a bad guy. But he was like, I saw him on like the dating app, and he had long hair and he was tall. He's like, so he's like 6'6" or something like that. And
6'6"?
Yeah, 6 foot six. And
I don't know. That's one six away from the devil.
I know. I know. He's one. He was half an inch. Then he'd be 6 foot 6.6 or something like that.
Yeah, no.
But he was not. So anyway, he sounded great. And then we went on a date, and he took me to like a dispensary because I hadn't gotten my LA weed yet. And it was fine. And then he found my podcasting history and my internet history, and he heard all about the sexual escapades that I've had with like threesomes and like how I'm very free, and then like I've built like a mini career on just talking about my sex life on podcasts, which is true. I just did that a few days ago. And all of a sudden, that's all he wanted to do was for me to indoctrinate him into like the world of like sexual adventure. It's like sexual adventuring. Like, oh, you have to take me to like orgies, and you have to take me to like, you know, play parties. And I'm like, no, dude, like, for one thing, I don't really want that right now.
Yeah.
Like that stuff, it sounds like that's all I do, because that's why I go on the podcasts that are about sex, just to talk about shit like that. But it's not like I do it every day. Like, they're basically hearing like the 3 or 4 times a year that I do it. And like, I have, I go on maybe like 3 or 4 different podcasts a year. So I have a different story every time I do it.
Yeah.
But like, so he just thought that was like, that was my life. So he just saw me as like a sex teacher for him. No. And like, it reminded me of when I was pre-transition, and like, I would have these crushes on these like complicated women that had like just really robust sex lives. And like, I kind of felt like the same way. Like, I wanted them to like, you know, induct me into their ways of like hodom. And like, and it made me feel like, you know, again, this is like what I was talking about earlier. You know, all dick is a little trash. And I remember, I remember myself being pre-transitioned. Like, that was shitty of me to like want these women to like just take me under their wing just because, you know, because I wanted them to. And like, here's this guy. He's giant. And I thought he's like this hot musician. It turns out he's like this, you know, fucking dork.
Yeah.
That played like 80s covers in his band, and like all the stuff that I thought was hot was not hot. And then the deal breaker was, I was like, all right, we've been going out for a little bit, a few weeks. I want you to take me on a real date, because all we've really done is we just go smoke weed, hook up, and then he bugs me about taking him to sex parties. I'm like, take me on a date. I want some good sushi. That's what I want. I want some good fucking sushi. And he's lived in LA his entire life, so he should know where the good sushi is.
Spots, yeah.
And so he takes me to the sushi place, and it is so close to an AutoZone that, that it seems in my mind they are connected. In my mind, the AutoZone and the sushi restaurant are one. I'm somehow,
I feel like so many creepy men
frequent
AutoZone and Advanced Auto Parts.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
So
yeah.
like they just hang out there like these creeps.
I saw your tweet, and I was going to ask you right after this. Yeah. Like, can I please hear about the AutoZone sushi AutoZone story?
Sushi
and the fact
story.
That this was the buildup makes me so
Okay, so it was so close to an AutoZone. So,
I mean, in the tweet it says it's somehow part of an AutoZone. Obviously, that's a joke. I'm sorry I exaggerated Twitter, but like, but it was so close to the AutoZone, and it was so ganky and like shitty, and it wasn't nice at all. It was this tiny little sushi stand that I would be fine getting takeout from. I'm not being elitist at all, but like, I
sometimes was it like a hole in the wall that was really good?
No, it was a hole in the wall, but it wasn't really good. Oh. It tasted like the people at AutoZone made it. That's
and
like
still someone outside like jumping their battery.
There's some guy, pouring oil into his engine, and like we're watching him like pour oil into his car and like do the fucking dipstick with the, you know, and like, this is not, this is, I wanted a date at a real,
at a nice restaurant.
Nice restaurant. You don't have to take me to Nobu, but like, just take me to a good sushi place, not AutoZone.
Yeah, well, I will say, because my friend lives in Kauai, and his dad's like a really well-known sushi maker, but he, like, the place is in the back of a restaurant, like a hole in the wall, but he spends all of the money getting like really nice cuts of fish and stuff.
Oh no, I mean,
yeah, and like sometimes it's that, but then it just didn't sound like that. It just sounded like, did he just Google sushi in the first place? That
I'll tell you exactly what he did. This is the other deal breaker that I haven't put into the tweet yet. Now, it's a truism. There was an LA food critic. He's passed away. I don't remember his name. But he says,
probably if you want, poisoned from oil. Oh, sorry.
He says, if you want good ethnic food, go to where the people who are of that identity shop for themselves. And it's true. Like LA, the best Mexican food in LA is in the immigrant communities. It's mm-hmm. not in West Hollywood. You need mm-hmm. to go to like the Valley where like people who are of actual like Hispanic descent live mm-hmm. because they're not going to drive, you know, a half an hour to get, you know, their food. They're going to go near where they live. And I'm sure that, you know, the best sushi is, you know, probably in like, you know, Little Tokyo or whatever.
Torrance.
Yeah, wherever, you know, wherever those Japanese people are, live. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, a lot of Japanese people live out in the South Bay. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's where the best stuff is. But this was Van Nuys. This is not a heavy Asian community. Now, if you wanted to take me for like Mexican food, would have been fine with that because Van Nuys is a large Hispanic community. I'm sure it would have been killer.
Yeah.
But like, this was like not that. And the reason why he picked it, the reason why he picked that thing is that it was within 1.2 miles of my apartment. He wanted to get fucked is what he wanted to do. Ugh. He wanted some place that was near enough that we could eat and go bang. He didn't want to take me. He didn't want to drive the extra 3.5 miles to the good part of the valley, even to like Toluca Lake, where like the fancy restaurants are. He wanted to stay in Van Nuys because it was close to where I was going to have sex with him.
Did you still have sex with him after that?
Absolutely not. No, I feigned illness and I never talked to him again. I was like, this is bullshit.
Has he hit you up since?
Or? No, he has not. I think he got the message.
Ugh, I'm so sorry. Oh, trash.
Trash indeed.
I hate when they don't have like initiative and they don't want to plan anything. And
yeah, they just want to like, I mean, I got a text from a guy. He's a comic. I don't think he listens to podcasts. He's like semi-famous. He's been on TV. He's been on all like the late night shows. Mm-hmm. And like we hooked up for a little bit and he sent me a text on his birthday and said, hey, it's my birthday. And then the next thing he sends me is like a tongue emoji and like a eggplant emoji. And like,
lick his dick?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And he's all the way, you know, in like, you know, fucking downtown or whatever. And I'm like, no, dude.
Yeah, no.
I just never answered it. He still creeps on me.
That's these, you know, like, I'm trying to find something. I don't know. I'll be on these apps and everyone will be like, what are you looking for? You know, that's what I'll get. Like, those messages. And I hate that question because like I understand like you don't want to waste time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, I don't know what I'm looking for because I could like obviously I'm looking for a relationship.
Obviously.
But if we go on a one date and it's not a vibe, I'm not gonna be like, well, I'm looking for a relationship. It's like I'm not looking for a relationship with you, Chad.
Yeah,
like exactly. I'm just like trying to figure it out. But then these guys will be like, well, I'm only looking for hookups. And I'm like, okay, so what? Or like they'll be like, well, I'm just looking for something casual. And I'm like, okay, what is casual? It's like, oh, somebody consistent that like I fuck all the time and they're hot and they're cool and nice and we hang out and blah blah. And I'm like, how is that just not dating someone? Like, what
is
wrong with you?
Not except that they just don't.
They want to do whatever they want.
They want to have the option of like finding someone else. It's all it is. It's all that all they want when they say casual. They just want everything. They want all of the emotional and sexual validation.
All of it.
But they also don't want to feel responsible to you.
So then what's the point? Yeah. Then it's like, so then what is it in it for me?
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm giving you everything and then you give me
trash
nothing.
Dick.
Yeah. You're trash. Dick.
You're trash.
It's not going to be good. The sexual experience is not going to be good. Like, or, you know, in my experience and you can, you know, I've found like probably 9 times out of 10, it's the hookups are not satisfying for me.
This is what I tell those guys. When they say that to me, I'm like, okay, you want to have just a casual relationship. I'll tell you what. If we go out and we vibe and I want to have sex with you, that's fine. We'll have sex. But I promise you, if I find someone who is the least bit serious about me, I will drop you like a fucking hot rock. You will feel like wind as I desert you. Like that's what you're getting. Like you're going to get attached to like me, but because you're not making that extra effort.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you the first fucking chance.
Yeah. And I don't even get there. I'm just like, I don't even want to get into this because then I'll feel bad. Like my tendency is like to feel bad when I do that, when I leave, even though, yeah, like I want to fucking leave. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But
is it like unique to just LA and New York, or you think people in the Midwest have like the same mentality?
It is absolutely the same mentality. I think that's probably more prevalent in like the coastal cities because there's not as much of a heavy like religious and family like orientation out here.
Yeah.
But I also think that the men who aren't like, you know, I want to crank out babies and love Jesus, they're probably all kind of like that. I'm sure that there's a lot of trash dick in like Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm sure there's plenty of it.
I feel like in New York and LA, there's like feigned options, or they think that they have so many options and stuff.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, I don't want to lock myself down because there might be something. And I just feel like it's just about timing for some of these guys where, you know, it's like, okay, I'm ready to like take myself out the game. Well, and like the first person that comes by where I feel like women might be like, you know, I'm looking for something. I don't know what, you know, I'm looking for something serious, but like if this guy's, you know, I'll make sacrifices, but it's this person. Like I really like this person and I want something with this person. Whereas like the person could be right, but it's like the wrong time, quote unquote, with these guys. And yeah, I don't know.
So this is what I found when I moved to LA after a few months, having lived both, you know, as a male appearing person and then as a woman in LA, single in both places. What I found is that when I was in LA, I kind of adopted that as a dude. I kind of adopted that, you know, mentality of I'm going to keep my options open.
Mm-hmm.
I was not hot. I was not worth it. Trash dick. I'll admit it. And I found myself alone a lot, and I found myself just not in demand. And I wasn't a bad looking person as a dude, and I had a good job, and like, and all of those things going for me. But you know, my trash dicky qualities kept me from meaningful connections. And then in LA now I'm highly in demand by everybody. I'm fucking can't mention his name now because he might be listening to this, but like very famous comedian, you know, fucking stalking me on the internet and like I might hook up with him and like and like I have like attractive, you know, women, men, and all these other people that are coming after me. Not, that's a weird way of saying it, but like
everyone wants to fuck Gina in LA. We get it.
So
reflex on me. I get it.
Yeah, the thing is though is that it was what I found, universal truth that I found, is that those straight men, those trash dick men that are just, they're decent looking.
Yeah.
They're not bad. They're not the most beautiful. They're not women who are always in demand, and they're not gay men who are always in demand.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of box themselves into like this little corner where they're just, they want to keep their options open. But by doing that, nobody wants them.
Exactly. And I feel like people are just not honest. You know what I mean? I think that they like, because it's fine if you want to keep your options open and stuff. Or the thing that gets me, which I find on a lot, which I feel like straight men want to use apps maybe the way that a lot of gay men use apps.
Absolutely.
Like, come over right now and suck my dick. Like, it's
they have gay envy. They have gay sex envy. Absolutely.
They definitely have gay sex envy. And it's like, okay, no. Like, I'll get those. You know, there's some guys where I'm like, okay, this guy's so hot. If he asked me to come over, I'd come over.
Absolutely.
Right now. But then that's like,
that's super less, rare.
Super rare. And then but then most of them, they're like guys who I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to swipe right on this guy. This guy looks really nice. He looks like a good person. And then it's always, I'm like, I want to eat your ass. Come over to my house. I live like a mile away. I'm like, no, why would I do that? This is not this is not appealing to me.
What those straight guys don't understand is you ask any gay male couple, 90% of them, they got together in some hookup fashion.
Yeah.
They either got, if they're young enough, they got together on an app, or they got together at the gym where they hooked up, or they got together wherever gay men are hooking up. I guarantee you most of them, or many of them at least, have got together because that's just how, you know, men are. And gay men, they like to have sex, and that happens. But that doesn't mean they're not emotional people. Mm. Like, they want to have connections. So even though, like, a lot of them have hooked up in, like, you know, situations that felt kind of random, they form connections over time. And I think that's what those straight guys don't understand, is that their people are still falling in love. They're still getting together. They're just, gay men are just like that. And women for the most part, are not.
Yeah.
But the end result is the same. So, you know, you want to have sex with women, you got to meet them halfway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess it's just like, if you're closed off to that option before anything, then it's like there's no appeal. Like, it's literally me starting an internship as a pre-law person, even though I have no law experience in it. There's no room for growth and it's unpaid. Yeah. You know, it's just like, it doesn't make sense for me to do that right now if you're not going to take anything seriously, even down the line. Just switching gears a little bit. What are some red flags that you feel like you've ignored and made excuses for? You know, and it could be as superficial as like white dreads per se, but you know, I
that is not superficial.
Yeah.
That's a serious red flag.
Yeah, but are there any red flags that you're just like, I should have fucking known?
I mean, there's a lot. I think that what I found is that people who have like unstable relationships, like they're constantly having drama with their friends and things like that. I found that that's like a red flag, because even though when you hear from that person, it's like, oh, well, whatever, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. If you have a pattern of like being unstable, chances are you're the asshole.
Yeah. And the lack of self-awareness. Too,
the lack of self-awareness. Absolutely. Even like more benign things like, I don't know, like just being a certain age, like by the time you're 30, I think you should have like a pretty good grasp of like how the world works and like the culture around you. And like, especially when you live in like New York and LA, if you don't, if you're so limited that you don't like, oh, I never eat blah, blah, blah food. If someone is just like so closed off to like even baseline experiences, like I never eat Indian food, I never do this, I never do that.
Yeah.
It, that person to me, even though it sounds like a really like benign, dumb thing. What I often find is that, you know, that that limitation that they set for themselves, they're limited in a lot of other ways. And like someone who's limited is just not going to be compatible with me.
Gina, you're so wise. Do you know that? I'm like, do you know that you're smart? That's why all of LA's
I guess so.
Ripping each other apart to try to be with you.
Line
you
out
are
the door.
A hot, smart woman, and I guess there's not that many in LA. I'm kidding.
I'm from LA, thanks.
No, yeah. Well, you live here, so.
Also true.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that's true. Without naming, you know, venues or names or anything, what is your most trash experience been in comedy?
Oh my God. Okay. So there's been quite a lot. I've talked about this before to like friends. It being a trans person, like I don't quite get. I do get it. I do get a lot of the trash experience. Like I do get like definitely the sexism, and definitely I've been definitely had like a lot of dudes say crude shit to me.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not at with the frequency, but only because they're afraid that I'm going to bust them and like out them as like trans amorous. And I totally fucking will. If they're being fucking closet cases about it and they're being assholes to me and like, and they're being disgusting, I'm be like, hey, guess what? Blah, 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 blah. And like, no, yeah, I'm not above you know, taking a little revenge if someone treats me like shit. But I guess the trash experience in comedy, there's so much of it. Wow, it's tough because I have had like a lot of like straight male comics that appreciate my sense of humor, but they either objectify me in a weird way or they just treat me as like a little like prop. And I'm trying to think like at least I can like talk about it without like giving up the spot too much. But
well, did you do comedy pre-transition?
I did not. I started comedy as this person.
Yeah, because I feel like
I never had the opposite experience.
I feel like, you know, and forgive me. Yeah. But I feel like sometimes people, this is what gets me, is like people want to just show off that they are so cool and so woke.
Of course. Yeah,
and then they book you and stuff. You know, I feel that as a woman of color.
Yeah,
you
sure.
You know, so it's like, oh, you, and that really, it really gets to me sometimes because it's like, wait, did you book me because you think I'm talented, or did you book me because you want to have a diverse lineup? You know,
I'm going to share with you. I will not blow up her spot because I know that she, I don't know that she didn't mean it in malice, but I was hanging out with a comedian friend of mine, cis woman, and she kind of implied that I got booked so much because I do book a lot. She kind of implied that I got booked so much because I'm trans. Mm. And then I think once the alcohol wore off, she like realized that was a shitty thing to say. So she says, she texts me, now that I'm home replaying things, I said that might have come off wrong. I wasn't saying you weren't talented when getting booked by woke white women. I was saying they flex real hard off things they never fought for. But you know me, so I'm sure you know I was making fun of them. Love you.
Yeah, but...
But also, you kind of were just bitching about the fact that I've done, like, shows and shit that you haven't, podcasts that you haven't, that you want to get on, that people that you're friends with, and I've done their shit, and you haven't, and I... It kind of is. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie that I'm not getting booked because I'm trans. But
it's
also,
both, though.
Yeah, but also, like, you and I, we have to deal with the rest of the fucking world. Just
exactly.
Because, just because we're getting spots because we're a little unique compared to, like, you know, cis white people, doesn't mean that we don't have to fucking deal with,
it's
like,
so much harder.
Everything else. And, like, yeah. And, like, sure, we'll get, like, a diversity spot, but we're also not going to get the fucking ABC sitcom.
Exactly.
Anytime soon.
Or we don't have... I don't have intergenerational wealth to support all this stuff. So, like, and
I come from an immigrant mother and a you know, father from, like, the South, and, like, we had zero money. I have nothing supporting me.
Yeah, and I think, like, for me, you know, it's hard because it's like, am I getting booked for my talent? And then it's also like imposter syndrome comes from somewhere, you know what I mean? Like, it comes from somewhere. It doesn't just, it's not just like a thing that we are born and we're inherently feel inferior. It's what other, it's those little comments of like, you're only getting this because of this or this and that, you know, and not like really valuing your talent or your hard work or anything, you know?
Here's how I fight imposter syndrome in comedy. I pay attention to everyone on the show and I'm listening to who's getting the laughs, irrespective of who, what kind of person they are. And then I listen to myself as I get the laughs. On nearly every show I do, I'm getting the most, if not in the top three, amount of laughs.
Yeah.
Now, that show we did last night, that was a killer ass show. Everyone was killing it.
I know. I was like, I hope you didn't. I don't feel like I did great in that show. But
No. The crowd was a little quiet.
The crowd was hard.
The crowd was a little quiet. Yikes. And they were far away from the stage, which is always a challenge.
Yes. And I was first.
And being first, and I was second. So, you know, going early is always a challenge. But, like,
I'm talking about, like, I didn't bomb, though.
Absolutely not. No, not far from it. I, you know, like, I've done shows at, like, the Improv. I've done shows at, like, Gotham. I've done shows, you know, at all of the clubs, save for, like, the really big ones. And I'm paying attention, and I know who's getting laughs, and I know that I'm getting a lot of laughs relative to everybody else. Not always, but more often than not. And so I know by the objective standard of laughs, who the audience finds funny.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that I am a person that was one gender and then, you know, transitioned to the next. People find me funny.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm getting booked.
And my thing, too, is like, you're one of those people, you know, I feel like I'm kind of, but like, you play, you know, you play like the alt rooms and like, you know, the like alt Brooklyn stuff. And like, of course, those audiences are a lot more open.
Yeah, of course.
But then you also do a lot of club shows, which I'm very impressed about, you know. Yeah. So like, how do you feel like, do you think those audiences and like alt, you know, the alt rooms, you know, just for anyone who's listening, who cares, like alt rooms are like the Union Hall, you know, like more alternative comedy. That's like not necessarily just stand up. It's a little bit more out of the box. And it tends to be a little bit more diverse and cooler and woke and stuff. And then the clubs are like the Carolines, like the touristy crowds, the you know, people who have real 9-to-5s that come for just a week, you know.
Yeah, they just come in and they, you know, they bring them off the street. Thank you, for one thing. I do a lot of, I try to I try to make myself.
Doo-doo?
I do. We all do. Everybody.
I'm a mature woman. I'm sorry. Absolutely. So you do. You do. Uh-huh.
I do. Mm-hmm. I may do after the show.
Yeah. Let's okay. Well, all right. You had coffee today.
About 2 hours ago, so you never know.
I am so sorry. So continue. You play the
clubs. I play the clubs. I'm not past. I'm quasi sort of past at a club in L.A. But from what I understand, they only say that to women to get them to shut up. Yeah. I will not tell you which comedy that is, but it rhymes with Flaff Hactory. So they pass women, but then they never book them.
I've heard that about that place.
Seems to be a thing they do there. So I'm not going to say that I'm past, except that whatever. Anyway, but I've done, you know, improv in the store, and I've done, you know, most of the New York clubs. Not regularly. It's hard because I do like the alt scene a lot, so I've never been one to hang out in clubs. I've never been one to, like, you know, do the audition mics and do all of that because I don't like the comedy as much. So
yeah,
I'm very happy with my altdom.
Yeah.
And it keeps me very busy, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah.
But I get people after the show, straight men, straight women, whatever, no matter what, wherever I go. If I do well, they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. They follow me on social. Mm-hmm. They say nice things. Mm-hmm. The comics, if I do well, they give me a fist bump. You know, I'm not saying comedy is a meritocracy. Obviously, it's not. That's far from it.
Yeah.
But
nothing is.
But, like, I don't know. I put a lot of, like, energy. I do, like, these, like, weird little meditation things before I go up where I'm paying attention to what the audience is doing, like where they're at, what they're feeling. And so I tailor my energy to, like, what the audience, what I think the audience wants. So I rarely bomb because of that, I think. And I do that, you know, I just pay more attention than I think a lot of people do. And I think that's how it works, I think.
Gina's in high demand in LA. She rarely bombs. She's got it. She's connected. She's connected.
I'm not
with
trying
energy.
To fucking flex. Like, I'm kidding.
You're being super humble.
No, you're being super humble and vulnerable, and it's hard to talk about this stuff. So I get it. I'm teasing you because I'm an asshole. Yeah.
I'm in the corner and I want to be like Martin Grand finalist.
Yes.
You winner. Like, no.
Yeah.
It's for a reason. You can't win these festivals and you can't be finalist in these festivals or in, like, just because of diversity. It's despite. Sure. It's not because.
It gets you in the door, but when you get in the door,
there's still people to compete with. Yeah. There's still
And I feel like people don't get that.
And even if it gets you in the door, how many other people are like, it's like you're like wedged in. Like if you can jam through the crowd to just get in there.
And
like
even though I might be the one of like 100, like let's say these guys, they book 100 people, and I might be the one trans woman they book that entire year. It doesn't mean there's not 50 other trans women that I beat out a spot for.
Yeah.
So there's still competition.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the scale is different.
Yeah.
Definitely. So society sucks.
One more thing I wanted to chat about is the article that you were in The Cut.
Yeah. From New York Magazine.
Yes.
Sure.
About your brother.
Yeah.
And how your brother transitioned. And
it was his wedding was last Saturday. That's why I'm here.
Oh, nice. In New York?
In New York. Yeah. Right here.
You know, you don't post that much about, or you post a little bit about your brother, but, and I mean, you can talk about it.
Oh, I don't mind talking about it at all.
Yeah. If you want to. But the thing that, again, I really liked, my favorite post of yours was like, You and him were at a restaurant. You're like, yeah, we're celebrating at his favorite place in Arby's or something like in the place he always belonged at in Arby's. And I just, you know, another thing I appreciate about you, but besides everything that you just said, like your talent and stuff, is your, you know, your unapologetic love for fast food.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I feel like me and you, we're not eating it every day. Right?
Not every day, certainly not. Day. No,
but like,
it'd
be unhealthy to do that. But I do look at people. I'm very confused by people who say they haven't been to McDonald's in 7 years. It's I'm ridiculous. Like, how? Yeah, that's impossible for
me. There's a McDonald's pretty much next door to my place in LA.
Yeah, and, like, same in New York.
I do a show and like I get home like at 11. There's nothing else open.
Well, yeah.
So I'll roll through and get some nugs. It's
get
fine.
Some nugs. Get some yeah. nugs. And you know what? You were the. And then I loved you during the whole Jollibee opening.
Oh, yeah.
Jollibee?
Jollibee.
Jollibee yeah. opening yeah. The Filipino fast food place.
Yes. Get a bag of spaghetti. Sure.
Yeah. Get a bag of spaghetti and a fried chicken drumstick.
Yes.
Honey.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I just I that article was so great, and I don't know if you want to speak to that or just about fast food in general.
I love my little brother. He got married. I guess the reason why I don't post about him as much anymore because we were roommates back then, so we were hanging out a lot more. Then he found his partner and then moved out, so we don't hang out as much. But you know, I hung out with him a lot, and he's actually coming into the studio to tape the first episode of the second season of my podcast.
Yes.
So, you know, he'll be in studio to give us all an update on his life as a married person. And no, it's great. I you know, he and I were like fast food buds when he was living with me. And we went to the Arby's and we went to like the Burger King and all of those things, and it was great because that was early in the transition and he was living with me and like I had that, you know, that family validation. And then we would just go to like Arby's and I would be out in the world and, you know, doing my lady thing while also chomping down on some, you know, roast beef and cheddar.
Yeah.
And so good. And we would just talk. We'd have these like chats about like, you know, gender is weird and like New York is crazy and here's what I'm doing. And I really treasure that stuff. And I'm glad that, you know, we had that time together.
Yeah.
At Arby's.
Yeah. Well, and it must be so valuable, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I feel like, I mean, you said I'm not making these assumptions. Like, you said that your family, your background's a little white trash.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
I'm sure that like they're not super. It can be super isolating to be going through a transition in general. Yeah. In general, but to have somebody in your family like supporting you and having that thing, and then also being able to, you know, eat your cultural food of
my people. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sure that's like probably was such a great experience.
It was eating
your people's food.
The food of my people. White Castle.
I love White Castle.
Like whoever hasn't read this article, and I'm not going to give any context just so that they think that the New York Magazine wrote a whole article about you eating Arby's with your brother.
No, that's very much not that. We are micro-targeting a very small detail.
I did show up to someone's house with a Crave case. And, like, I guess it was, like, an inside joke that they always wanted a Crave case. A Crave case is 30 White Castle burgers.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, Crave case. Everyone only ate, like, two burgers. And I was fucking stuck with, like, 15. And I took six home, but I'm like, damn, y'all, like, I wouldn't have bought a Crave case if y'all didn't really want it. An 8-person or 7-person party, and I ate, like, so many
burgers.
You get
a Crave case, you leave it in your microwave, and then you regret 3 days. And then you just keep going. Like,
you keep it going.
Microwave White Castle is a bad idea.
I feel like it's good. It's good. Frozen White Castle is not terrible.
Frozen is fine because it's designed that way. But if you go to White Castle and it's hot and it's cold and you put it in the microwave, it turns to like bacteria or something.
Oh,
it never leaves the microwave,
but yeah.
Oh, I put it in the fridge and then I heat it up after.
That's probably a little better, yeah.
All right, so I'm trash.
It's delicious. Okay, well, Gina, we're going to wrap up.
Thank you.
We're going to wrap this up.
All right.
You're amazing. We're going to wrap this up with a lightning round.
Sure, let's do
it. So what happens is you say if this is trash or not.
Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas.
Not trash. Love it.
Oh, going barefoot on a plane.
Horrible trash. Super trash.
The homelessness epidemic in Los Angeles.
Trash. Blame it on the man, not the people that are homeless.
For sure. Disney Plus.
Haven't had it yet. Kind of feels like trash to me. That's why I haven't turned it on.
Dubbed anime.
Trash. Definitely trash.
You're a subtitle.
I'm a sub girl. Yeah.
You're a sub girl.
Love the subs.
Love the subs. Listen,
the voice acting is terrible.
Voice acting is terrible. The Valley.
The Valley, not trash. I dump on The Valley all the time, but it kind of is my LA home, and it's where you get the best Mexican food. You cannot you cannot say.
Best, I don't know. I'm from East LA. That's controversial.
Okay, that's true. All right, East LA, but the best Mexican and the best strip clubs.
All right, you win. Fair.
Yeah, there you go.
Completely. You could probably get a taco and a hot dog outside of a strip club in the valley.
Yes, absolutely. That sounds so good. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, okay. We are going to wrap this up, but I do actually have one more question for you that I'm super curious about your relationship to strip clubs and what you feel about them and like,
That shit is complicated.
I know. That shouldn't have been. I should have wrote that as a real question, but you know.
I love fucking strippers. They're some of my favorite people in the world. Mm-hmm. And I know a few. And they're some of my favorite people. They're awesome. I love them. I know that the clubs can be huge trash. I know that the management preys on the women that work there, kind of like harasses them into relationships. A friend of mine who is a dancer went through that at a club that she worked at. Mm. So I'm not going to be like, strip club's amazing, love them. Because like the management that often runs those places are not great people. But strippers and showing off your body and like being fabulous and getting paid for it, fully support 100%.
Yeah, I think like for me, I was really creeped out when I went. I'm from Miami.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like strip club culture. Yeah, like absolutely. Everybody goes after the club, you go to the strip club.
Yes.
And for me, it wasn't, and I mean, you know, this is a little judgmental, but at the time, like, it wasn't the strippers that creeped me out. It was like the men in the strip club.
No doubt.
And the
no
way
doubt.
That they looked at them, I've never seen anybody like look at something like that. Like, it made me super uncomfortable. And then, then the management and the, it's just, so it's tough, you
it's
know?
Tough.
It's the same thing as porn it's for tough. Me. It's like,
I think that these women taking these men's paychecks and rent money is great. If they want to be gross,
yes,
that's great. But but there's like structural things going on. There's exploitation. And I think like all of us, we have a journey, but like I fully support the ladies and the men and the non-binary folks that are out there shaking their asses. I love them all.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can wrap it up. Any plugs that you want to do?
You can keep listening right here on the More Banana Network. Season 2 of Sweet Delay's Guide to Bro Culture is coming out soon. We're about to start recording. I'm not sure when we're
what
releasing.
What is that? Just you want to say like a little...
Millie saying it like she hasn't been on the show before.
I've been on the show, but listen to the Con Air episode.
That is, that's a podcast that I do here on More Banana that has a celebration of sorts of bro culture, of like male pop culture. I have women that have not experienced a certain part of male culture, be it like a movie, like when Millie watched Con Air live, or like a book. We did a 2-part episode on Infinite Jest. Sometimes it's just sports in general, like basketball. We had a basketball episode. So we're doing...
I like basketball.
Yeah, I do too. Like I grew up in Indiana where like, you know, college basketball was huge, but I'd never been to an NBA game.
And oh, really?
And like my friend that I took with us had never been to an NBA
game.
I think
they're the funnest of, like, basketball's fun.
Basketball is kinetic. Most other sports are really fucking boring.
Like,
they just sort of line up.
Basketball,
and, like,
especially
wait.
Live, amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I it was really entertaining. And then season 2 is about to begin, and we're doing, we're kicking off with all 9 Fast and the Furious episodes, Fast and the Furious movies in a row. And then we're going hard. We're bi-coastal. I got LA people. I got New York people.
Yeah,
we're killing it. So listen for that. And if you're in LA, I manage Make It Rain Comedy, which is a comedy show in a strip club. We're venueless right now, but once we get that figured out, we'll let everybody know where you can find us next.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay, so now we have the segment I like to call Trash Dick Confessions, where people share stories and then we weigh in on it. So without further ado, our amazing producer Candy is going to read the first confession.
Yes, so this is anonymous. Once a guy pulled out a vibrator unprompted, I wasn't into it at all, and then told me he never used it on a girl before, which I thought was a weird lie to tell. He also told me during all of this, he got into using one because he found one at his grandfather's house as a kid and put it on his dick. All dick is trash. Huh. Verdict?
I mean...
So he said he got a... He found his grandfather's vibrator. This is the moral of it.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Does it? I guess it feels good for men to have like something vibrating on your dick.
No, that's not the question. It's the origin story.
I know. I'm like, I guess it feels good. But like that's a little weird. I don't know if he's like, I think it's I'm like 50-50 on this because I don't think it's bad that a guy uses sex toys, but a vibrator, like, how do we know that's disinfected? Like, I don't know. I don't know about sharing vibrators with other women, you know? So, that's a little trash. Unprompted is trash.
Yeah.
We never, it's a thin line with me because talking about, well, I guess if you want to do some crazy shit.
No consent, and you're talking about your one of your most vivid sexual experiences is using your grandfather's vibrator. I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
And that's crazy that it was his grandfather's.
I mean, could have been You know what? That's an assumption. It could have been his grandmother's.
Does he put it? Did his grandfather put it somewhere?
No. Well, he found it at his grandpa's house, and that's when he put it on his dick. So
maybe
he could have said it's implied. He could have said his grandmother's house.
Yeah, but his grandfather.
He said grandfather.
I have questions about the grandfather. But anyway.
Don't bring that up if you're trying to touch a clit. That's
yeah.
All I'm
so I think we're going to go ahead and say trash.
Just context wise, not actions. Context.
So for this segment, are they always going to be trash if all dick is trash?
I mean,
is there a point of this segment? No.
There's
different kinds of trash, and they're not always trash. We're impartial. But this guy's just trash.
The levels.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is like a burnable trash.
No, but may I?
Garbage day.
Garbage day. Good point. It's still going out. All right. That's it for our Trash Dick Confessions. For our final segment in the All Dick is Trash podcast, we have Trash Dick of the Week. And the Trash Dick of the Week... is really hard. It's hard because there's just, again, so much trash to choose from. But my trash dick of the week this week goes to this guy that I was talking to on Tinder. And you know, usually Tinder's tough because the guys are hot, but 9 times out of 10, they'll be like, at least for me, they'll be like, hey. And I'm like, hey, what's up? Come over my house right now and suck my dick. And it's like, okay, no, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't sound fun. I'd rather watch Divorce Court on YouTube. But this one guy, he's like, hey. I'm like, hey. He's like, oh, so do you you're a comedian? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, cool. I love comedy. I love the comedy scene out here in LA. And I was like, wait, where do you live? And he was like, oh, I live in LA, but I'm coming to New York in June. It is November, folks. He said June. And I said, of 2020? Good Lord. Like, and I'm going to go ahead and say that, guys. And then he's like, yeah, I'm just looking for friends and to have a good time when I'm in New York.
He's
and
looking for a couch to sleep on. So
I understand a month ahead of time. You're trying to like hedge your bets and like plan some shit. Cool. 2 weeks better. A week ahead, we love. But 6 months at least ahead, I'm going to have to go ahead and put you in the trash bin, honey. Like, what the fuck? So, yeah, that is my trash dick of this week. He's hot, so come
so
May.
So, you're probably gonna
come May, I'll hit him up again. But
he's going to say, when I have to go into your apartment and pull him out.
Yeah, he's going to squat. He's definitely going to squat
so hard.
But you know what?
And he's going to do Tinder dates when you're, like, at work or not home. Like, ugh. Oh, God. Well, you'll have more material for the podcast.
No, I don't need. I don't need more material. I don't need more material. I hate when people are like, you can be material for you. Don't do that. I don't. Not you, but like just guys that I date. They're like, no, you can use me for your comedy. I don't need it. And I'm going to use you anyway. So don't. I don't care about your consent.
And I don't need material.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But yeah, that guy's trash. And fuck that guy. Thank you for listening to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The All Dick is Trash podcast is produced by Candy Harrell, and we are part of the More Banana Podcast Network. Our founder and managing producer is Kate Moldenhauer. If you would like to share an anonymous confession, email trashdickconfession@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ADIT Podcast. And of course, you can always follow me, your host, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter at Millie Tamaris. Stay classy, y'all.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.